Financial Podcast. My name is Barbara Ginty, and I'm your host, and I'm also a CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner, and I'm here today with my guest, Francesca. Thank you for joining. It's always fun picking a fake name, right?
I love it. I love it. It's super fun.
So we have to start out. So I like to say how old you are and where you're from.
I'm from New York, and okay. I'm 37.
Great. And so you're living not in the city, but
Long Island.
Long Island. Okay. Because just so for disparity with cost and all that.
Yeah.
But so picking your name, I feel like we just have to talk about this real quick because I was so excited and so was Potter, my producer. So you picked your name because
this is the name of my imaginary pirate wench that I had to make up when I used to work on a cruise ship, which is where my husband and I met.
This is amazing.
Yes, we were friends with the mouse. I was about to say, like, there's all sorts of legal things that they scour the internet for all sorts of people who, like, say things they're not supposed to say. So I was like, we're pretty covered under that, even though they didn't see my air quotes.
Oh, we did air quotes.
Right, which makes everything super legal.
Yes, I think so. I'm not a lawyer. We can ask one.
Right, it'll be fine.
Wait, so you met your husband being...
I was
on a Disney cruise.
Yeah, I was a singer on the ship.
Oh, that's
and he was a bartender.
Great. Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
And so Francesca, that's where we came up with the name.
Yeah, yeah. So it was awesome because I would help Captain Hook, you know, get around where he was.
He's one of your good friends.
Right. He totally was my good friend. I would help, you know. I would help him take over the ship. And what was funny was because it's like, we're literally like, you know, moving him through these crowds and stuff. You know, and you always have to be like, you know, really happy and polite and whatever. But I literally could be like, move, move, the captain's coming through. And people are like, oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, no, I mean, I can literally like yell at people, get out of my way. Because I have to hit this point, I have to hit this point, I have to hit this point by like different parts of the music. And like... And they were like, great. I was like, this is awesome.
Well, that's amazing. Okay, thank you for I almost fell over when you're like, well, that's because that was my name when I met my husband on the Disney. I was like, wait a minute, we need to put this in the podcast. This is the best fake name. Because on the podcast, we always use a fake name because we're going over so much personal information that most people don't like to share this with anybody. No one likes to talk about their money.
It's really, it's a lot of things wrapped up into something mm-hmm. that seems simple, but is like very personal.
Lots of emotions
that you don't realize or fears that you don't even know that you have that all of a sudden
come out.
Are like, oh, that's tied to, oh, why am I hot? Like, why am I feeling
why am I feeling like this?
Right. I was like, why do I feel like this? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's a lot tied to money. I think that's one of the big obstacles with it, why people sometimes don't want to deal with it, because they don't want to let like all those emotions out that come with it. So it's easier just not to deal with it than to like,
well, because you also don't know who to talk to, because some people, I mean, because that's the thing, is some people are good at it and some people think they're good at it and aren't.
Kind of like driving.
Right?
Mom is driving, right?
Right? They're like, I'm awesome.
I'm a wonderful driver. And then meanwhile, there's like total terrible driver and like, I'm great at my finances. And usually the people you don't think.
Well, it's like that Dunstan-Kruger effect, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. So you're like, is this person really like somebody I can talk to and trust to get information about something I don't know that much about and makes me kind of uncomfortable to ask questions also? Or is this a person who suffers from Dunstan-Kruger and I'm going to wind up more broke than if I had just either not done anything or just like vaguely figured it out myself?
Exactly. Oh, and that brings me to another good point. You said that you've listened to the other podcasts and you've never been so happy to have a zero in the student loan column.
Right? I've never been so excited to have nothing.
It's a great thing. It is a great thing not to have student loans. It's for those of you that have it, we can definitely tackle it, but it is a nice thing to be able to check that box and say, I don't need to worry about that.
Well, I was really lucky because my parents had paid for some of it. I'd gotten some of it in grants. I had some student loans, like not a ton when I went to undergrad. And then when my father passed away when I was younger, it's okay. I mean, that was like 10 plus years ago. Oh, wow. Some of the loans had been under his name, so some of them straight up disappeared.
Because they were in his name only, you weren't on it.
Right.
Yeah, so actually that's a big issue.
They just,
had it been in your name and he co-signed, which isn't what happened with you, thank God, and he passed away, because it sounds like it was unexpected.
Yeah.
Your loan would have, if depending on the loan, not all of them, but some of them come due immediately when the co-signer dies.
Oh my God.
I've had that happen. Yes, to a girl. So she lost her father.
And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, and she came to me and she's like, I don't know why they're saying I have to pay the $30,000 balance in full and I've been making on-time payments. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense to anything. She's like, well, my dad just passed away. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She's like, yeah, so I'm dealing with this estate, and now they're saying my loan is due. Because they were in both names. But because yours was just your dad's name,
yeah,
it goes away.
Wow.
So that is great.
That's...
Not that he passed
away.
I'm sorry. Oh my God, that is the worst thing ever. That was amazing. I'm not a terrible human being. No, I swear.
You're fine.
I'm sorry. I'm glad that it did the loans were set up the right way so that you didn't have a personal tragedy and a financial tragedy is what I was going... Everyone's laughing at me for those of you that are listening.
You could actually feel less bad because, like, the look on your face the moment you heard it was hilarious.
I was like, oh, I hear these words out of my mouth. They're horrible. It's not what I meant.
Again, my husband and I, like, you know, there's lots, like, what
my
he
face
meant.
Tells it all. Nobody can see my face. My face gives everything away the moment. The moment I hear something, my face is a lie.
I understand that.
Yeah, you can see it right here.
That is absolutely my life. And then there's what you thought you said and what you actually said.
Yeah, those are different too.
Which are sometimes really different. Which, again, my husband and I, you know, realize. Like, I was doing something. Like, I was taking care of our 2-year-old and I was cooking dinner. And everyone's screaming. Everything's, like, chaos in my house.
Well, we're going to talk about this. So you're married and you have a 2-year-old.
Yes.
And that was a game changer.
Yes.
That's a big game.
Very much so.
Because I always like to say you become an adult when you don't have IKEA furniture, but I think having a child,
yeah,
is like a real adult.
Yeah. No, it was one of those things where, and that is part of why I decided to come and talk to you. Yes. Because I can't teach somebody something that I don't know,
mm-hmm.
and I also can't expect someone to do things that I've been unwilling to do myself.
Right. So you want to be a good role model.
You know, exactly. Right. So I was like, so I can't be a leader if I don't have the faintest idea what's happening.
Right.
So
it is hard to know, like, what direction am I going?
Right. So I was like, well, we got a couple more years before we start asking really, you know, really hard questions. So
is he talking now?
He doesn't stop.
Oh my God.
He talks all the time. He knows, like, all the different trucks. He knows all of their different names.
Oh my God, that's such a fun age, I think, too.
Now I know all of their different names.
You probably know more about trucks than you ever knew before.
Absolutely.
And probably, like, dinosaurs and all these other things. You probably...
Just trucks.
Just trucks.
Just vehicles.
So you're just an expert in trucks.
Yeah. And when the children's books make mistakes, I get really mad about it because some of them are wrong. Some of them literally mislabel trucks.
Oh, really? And they must have a proofreader.
And yet, here I am with these different books saying different things or suggesting that certain types of trucks do things that they don't do.
Does he pick up on it?
No, I picked up on it because I started noticing it, and then I started doing some internet research and being like,
these are the wrong trucks.
This is not it at all. Like,
they must know the parent also reads the book, right? I mean, the parent's not reading the book.
I mean, I guess because I already bought it, they don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I mean, I just bought this book to, like, teach my child something that, you know, has wrong information in it. Great.
Okay, so you have a lot going on.
Yes.
Okay, so you live in Long Island. You're 37. You're married. How long have you been married for?
11 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So I have a question to ask because this comes up a lot in our podcast. How did you figure out how to do the finances with your husband? Did it just happen? Did you have a conversation about it?
Oh, I mean, we do talk about it as much as we can. We both have very strong ideas about life.
Okay.
And things. So he has taken the reins on this.
Okay.
He's taken
the reins. It's usually one or the other.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like us doing a full 50-50, let's do, you know, like, in terms of decision making on certain things, mm-hmm. honestly just doesn't really work for us.
Okay.
So he's been working full time. He changed his job.
Okay.
About two and a half years ago.
Oh, good. Okay.
To a completely new industry.
Change.
Yeah, total from hospitality.
Is that
how
you met in hospitality?
Right.
Okay, that's your background.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're an actress, singer.
And singer, yeah.
Okay. And so he was in that business too, and so he just switched 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So right around the time your son was born.
So right around the time I decided to get pregnant, actually.
Oh, okay.
Was when he got an opportunity for the new job. And so that's why it was like all sort of...
happening at once.
All the things started happening.
That's how life works, right? It's like when it rains, it pours.
It's crazy.
And then when it's a drought, it's like the worst drought
ever. But nothing. It's just nothing's
happening. Okay, that's exciting. And so how much does he make...
He makes about $1,750 every 2 weeks.
Perfect. Okay, good. And then, so now you're the primary caregiver for your son?
Yes.
And then you said that you also do a little bit of side
hustle. Yeah, so, yeah, so I, yes, I have been.
I love a good side hustle.
Right? So, yeah, so I'm also teaching music, teaching singing lessons and acting lessons privately at our home.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In the afternoons.
So that's great. So you're able to make some money from your skill.
Right, exactly. So, and that's one of the other things that I also was going to ask you about eventually, which is trying to figure out how to start working again in how do I start working with a flexible schedule enough to be taking care of a child? Because isn't that, like, sort of everybody who has kids? Like, that's what everyone's trying to do.
Right, that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Flexible. Someone was telling me that their CEO just came out and said that he wanted everybody to have flexible hours, and, like, that department was, like, the boss there was like, no, why does he keep doing this? We don't want you all to be working from home. I don't know whose CEO it was, but, yeah, it's ideal to have flexible hours with a child and then be able to still make money so that you can, you know.
Right.
Use your skill set that you were, I'm sure you went to undergrad for this in grad school.
Well, actually, I went to undergrad for visual art, for drawing.
Oh, wow.
But that's what I mean. What I said before, I was like, if you can't make money at it, I'm really good at it. Like, across the board.
So we need to help you make money doing what you're good at.
Right, yeah.
The only place we want the zero column is the student loan.
Right.
And credit cards.
Yes, so
we need to talk about that. You're married 37, married 11 years, your husband has a job, full-time job.
Yeah, full-time in IT.
In IT, okay, great. And you're the primary caregiver, but then you teach private lessons to get some extra income.
Yes.
And you are living rent-free?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes,
okay,
we are.
So you're living with your mom for the time being?
We are.
How long have you been there?
A good couple of years.
Okay. And so this is giving you an opportunity to save?
Well, I mean, it gave me an opportunity to have a maternity leave.
Oh.
Basically, because, you know,
you don't get it.
Yeah, like, I'm a freelancer.
You're a freelancer.
I'm a freelancer, so everything.
That's so funny, because one of my girlfriends said to me, because I own my own business, so she's like, what's your maternity leave policy? And I, like, looked around, and I was like, you know that's me, right? Like, it's just me. I don't have, like, this whole corporate benefit thing. I was like, if I don't work, I don't get paid. And she was like, well, I thought everyone got maternity leave. And I was like, no, that's not. If you're a freelancer, own your own business, you don't get maternity leave. That was a huge step back for you to be able to say, if I get pregnant, then I'm not going to be able to work as much, right?
Well, that's one of the things that's hard is because, I'm an equity member, which is the stage union.
Okay, so you're in their union.
Yes. And so even though in certain ways, you know, we work off of W-2s, I mean, essentially we all are independent contractors in terms of, like, you know, getting new gigs and having to line them up. And so it's hard because once you get pregnant, and luckily for me, I didn't have to go through this, but I know other people who did, the way that the healthcare structure is, you have to work a certain amount of weeks to qualify for healthcare through the union. But if you're pregnant, then you can't work anymore at a certain point because what are you going to do? But waddle on on the stage? You know, like,
if you're not playing a pregnant character.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and even if you could do the things a lot of the time because you don't know how pregnancy is going to affect you, you don't know if you're going to be like literally capable of performing. So like that's sort of its own complicated thing. And luckily enough for me, my husband.
I was going to say, did you get the health insurance then?
Got health care through the new job, and it kicked. We had to buy through the marketplace for a little bit, like, because there was like a gap.
Period.
Yeah, there was a wait period.
Yeah, because sometimes they make you wait so many 60 days or whatever when you first get hired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was a gap that we had to fill, and so we were like, you know what, we're going to splurge and we're going to spend I think we paid like $900 a month for 2 months.
Okay.
For healthcare in between because I'm pregnant.
Yeah, you have to have
it. Like you literally don't know. And it was like the baby heard that we were on the crappy healthcare that we had, like the crappy Obama healthcare that we had had. Well, no, not Obama, the base level for like a while when I didn't know I was going to be pregnant. And then we like kind of rolled that out for a little while. And then in the gap, once we were waiting for the new healthcare to kick in,
you upped it and got the
Yeah, we upped it. We got like the high. Yeah, exactly.
Everything's covered.
3 days after that, like, I actually did have an incident where I started having contractions. Oh, I had to go to the hospital. Gosh. And I was, you know, it was fine. Like, they, but I was like, he heard it. He was like,
knew.
He knew. He was like,
okay, they got
like, nope, we can't do this until, and
now go, contraction.
And now we can.
To the hospital we go.
I was like,
fully covered, fully covered.
Right, I was like, all of the things were covered.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a bill.
Yeah, so that was very lucky for us that all of those things worked out. And then...
So he's a good listener, your son. No, maybe he was.
He was. I mean, like, talk to him now. He just goes, no.
Favorite word.
You want to give me a high five? No.
Okay, perfect. So you've held insurance through him. And so you're saving... So you're not paying... rent or anything, but you have your regular expenses.
Right.
And so he's bringing in $1,750 every 2 weeks. And so we took a little bit of a look at your budget, and it looks like with your expenses, it looks like you're spending about $2,000 a month with car insurance, car loan, some different recurring expenses. And then we have credit cards. So you want to tell me a little bit about credit cards?
So we've had those for a couple of years. They're about $15,000 together, like all together. Like most of it's on like two credit cards.
Okay.
Like the bulk of it.
Okay.
And so we're just really trying to get those down, but at the same time, part of the reason that we're also saving about 25% to 33% of his salary.
Perfect.
It's going directly into savings because he's also been doing a lot of research about, you know, better financial habits.
Yep.
And so they say that pay yourself first. So
absolutely, yeah.
And so the plan that he has is to start to build additional streams of income.
Okay.
So he just started a t-shirt company.
A t-shirt company?
Yeah, online. Right. So the last like couple of weeks have been like chaos in my house because all the things that he normally does. He's like, so I can't. So amazing, I'm not doing any of it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna make it. It's gonna be fine.
Okay. So I see his plan. Is it
to that's part of why he hasn't put the money from like that savings directly into the cards, which is we're trying to make that money. Go make money.
Right.
Go into things that make money.
To start earning money. Wait, so can I ask you do you know how much you have in savings?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. That's no worries. We know what we have on the credit card. And so I'm looking at the...
I want to say maybe 1,000-ish.
1,000-ish? Okay.
I don't know, because he had spent about 1,000 on, invested into some stocks.
Okay.
And that another 1,000 in like not Bitcoin, but the cryptocurrency. Okay. You know, like, so
something
he's been starting to.
And then I know that you're putting money in Roth.
Yeah.
Okay, which is great. So that's what you're doing for retirement.
In addition, I also have a pension, part of a pension in my,
with
my
union.
Yep. From when I worked, which I want maybe 14,000-ish in there.
Okay, good. Okay, so you have that too.
Yeah.
Okay, so it seems like my big concern is the credit cards. Yeah.
Right.
They can be monstrous. and so, because they have high interest, so it looks like your interest, one of them's almost 24 and one of them's 20%. And you're right, it's like between two cards.
Yeah.
So for the listeners at home, I'm looking at a spreadsheet. So you have a great job on the spreadsheets.
I will tell him.
You'll tell
him. I will tell him that you enjoy his Excel spreadsheets.
I really like the Excel spreadsheet. I'm always a sucker for a good spreadsheet.
He really likes things in columns.
Yeah, and I like the color coding too.
He spent a lot of time on that.
Oh, that's good. I like it. I like the totals. The problem with those is with the interest rate so high. So we talked about in one of my other podcasts, the rule of 72. So your money doubles every 10 years if it averages or makes 7.2% compounding of interest.
Okay.
So with a credit card, it's working against you, right? So, and that's even 3 times higher than the 7.2 number. So that's where, you know, it's like a danger zone.
Yeah.
Because you don't want your debt to be growing faster than you're paying it off.
Yeah.
So it's growing. That's the way to think about it.
Okay.
And it's growing quickly. So what I normally say to people is if you have a lot of credit card debt and you have, it looks like with your income, if you're going to make, you think between $100 and $400 a week with your side hustle,
yeah,
we could probably put maybe $1,000 or $500 a month towards just killing the credit card. But you can't kill them when they're charging you that much interest. because right. you're only paying interest. You're right. not getting ahead. So what I would probably look into is doing a 0% APR card, and that's where you transfer the balance over. And they're going to charge you to do a balance transfer, right. so they 100% get paid on that, and that's yeah. fine. Because to get 12 or 18 months with no interest,
is
you
gonna...
can tackle most of it. Because if yeah. you put $1,000 a month towards it with your side money, you'll get rid of the majority of it in 12 months. And then it's done. Yeah. And then you don't have those extra payments every month. And then more of that money that you're putting towards the credit card can go towards the savings.
Yeah.
But the trick with it is, not only do you have to do, you have to apply and make sure that you qualify for it.
Okay.
And you want to, you're going to pay the balance transfer fee. The other trick with it is, you want to make sure, I would set it up for auto pay.
Yeah.
Whatever the minimum is, just so you know, just never miss it. Because if you make a late payment, they'll charge you a penalty APR, and then they can backdate it from when you originally did it. So let's just say in your 12th month, you miss a payment because you forget. They can go back and charge you interest on that entire 12 months. It's brutal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you have to be real serious about it if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. why I say do the auto pay, because you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like, wake up one day and it's, like, the first, and you're like, oh, my God, I didn't pay it, and pay it. You know, now yeah. you're, like, one day too late, and they have the ability to go back and charge you all that interest.
Oh, wow.
But that would make – I think that would be a huge help, because then that way, when you make those payments every month, you're actually reducing –
getting the, somewhere.
You're getting somewhere. Because right yeah. now, you're literally – treading water with it.
Yeah.
Because you're making a really decent payment, but there's so much interest on it, you're not, it's, you don't see it going down.
Yeah. I know. Like, I feel like we're, like,
I'm
we're really working
you money.
Super hard.
I'm sending
like,
you money. Why?
And nothing
not,
is happening.
Nothing is happening. I know. It's terrible. So, yeah, you want to just, I think, even if you maybe talk to your husband, that I would try yeah. and do, because if you can do $1,000 a month, you can get rid of it in 15 months, right? Because it's $15,000.
Right. Yeah.
And on 0%, you literally know that it will then be done. So if you can, yeah. in 18 months, you only have to pay for 15 and then you're done.
Yeah.
So I would talk to your husband about that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Because that will actually, I think, be better for you than, I know he wants to do the investment, but once you get rid of that, you're going to have so much more money in your budget. Because
right.
of those minimums, and they're not doing anything. You're just floating. You know, you're
yeah.
just staying right here and not getting rid of it.
Yeah.
So I'd look into that. And have him put it in the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You'll see. You know, you can commit to it, and then you're done with the credit cards.
Yeah.
And then you'll be, you could take all that other money and put towards investments. Because I like your husband's idea. It would be good if you had another source of income. Because,
yeah.
as you said, your goal is to, how do I make money and have flexibility?
Yeah. I mean, that is something that he's been telling me about. And I was like, that sounds actually really great. Because there's... You know, because there's so many different ways to generate income that's kind of, you know, like, not no effort, but yeah,
passive. Yeah, yeah, passive income, meaning
yeah.
that those checks kind of come in. Yeah, there's a couple ways to do it. I think with your skill set, I do think the side job is great, because you can do it from
yeah.
home. And so is it a third party that's providing it?
Some of my clients are private, like... just through friends, you know,
okay.
Different friends who are either music teachers near where I live, or also other friends who are professional actors and singers. And then some of them are through a website where, you know, you just like little, like set up a profile. It took me like an hour to set up this profile, and people show up.
That's
out
great.
Of nowhere. So I get a smaller rate, like,
because you have to pay them, right? They take a cut.
No, they pay me.
Oh,
they,
okay. They charge a certain amount,
and then I get a percentage of that. And so, but at the same time, it's like out of nowhere.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
people just showed up.
Found
right.
money.
Yeah. But also I'm thinking of trying to figure out how I can do things without, in addition to private sessions, because something I realized, I was like, I've got about 10 students right now, and to
okay.
be perfectly frank, I could only really support another 5 or 6 in the infrastructure
right.
that I have with, you know, with like just keeping my house afloat and, you know, and like
absolutely.
All of the things like there's no, and like, you know, and again, it's like not just when people come and we work, like I have to get material and,
yeah, prep work
and you know, I mean like everyone's got different problems. Everyone needs different things. Like, it's actually a lot of things to juggle in your brain.
Mind space.
Yeah.
Right, no, absolutely. So with this streams of income, so when this company sends you, how do they send you the pay? Is it a 1099?
Yes.
It is? Okay,
yes.
Perfect. And when you charge people, they just write you a check?
Yes.
When he's private. And they just write it to cash, or they write it out to you individually?
Either cash, or they just give me cash.
Okay, great. Cash.
Cash is great.
I do not work for the IRS. I can't get in trouble. I'm always like, do cash. It's better.
Cash is always great.
Cash is great. So what you could always do is maybe set it up as a... Because do you have it as a DBA, doing business as? Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea.
It's like a business structure. You could do a sole proprietor, maybe an LLC. Do you have an accountant?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Talk to your accountant.
Okay.
This is a great accountant question.
Okay.
I always love to throw these to the
Yeah.
But you could potentially, depending on what the revenue stream looks like, you know, the more you grow, you could talk to your accountant about having maybe a corporate structure and then maybe taking some expenses out of it.
Okay.
As a business. So, yeah, you could talk to the, I would talk to the accountant and see if it would make sense for you to do, depending on how much volume you get, right? So if you start doing more students and this becomes a little bit bigger, then that would be a good thing to have a corporate structure.
Okay. So how much do you think would be, I mean, how much money would I have to make to be worth it to even go through the...
So the accountant will kind of give you where he thinks you need to be, but you want to be able to maybe take some write-offs. So maybe they write off, because you don't own the home, but maybe when...
Right.
When you go and have your own place, then you can write off part of that because it's a work from home and transportation and materials and supplies and that sort of thing. So you're getting, you're not just getting the 1099 income, but you're getting something else out of it too.
Because I was about to say, I thought that because it's a 1099, even as a 1099 recipient, I can still write off certain things like part of the cell phone or part of, or like sheet music or
No, you totally can, but it just might make sense as it grows maybe... to make it a corporate structure.
Yeah.
But maybe not. You
no,
to,
no.
Ask
but,
the accountant.
Okay, no. Well, also, my husband has been looking into these things in terms of the t-shirt business and creating a corporate structure for that and... Yeah,
and
I mean, he definitely talks to me about these things when I've like had like a really long day. So I'm like,
like
I'm vaguely taking in information, and I'm like,
I'm only half listening right now.
It's like 10 a.m. It's 10 p.m. and I have had someone running around yelling at me all day, and I don't know what you're saying to me.
Yeah, no, I would talk to the accountant, and the accountant can tell you for both of the businesses what he thinks how they should be structured, and you might be getting enough of your write off with the 1099, but maybe as it grows.
Yeah.
It's always good to be proactive with the accountants and say, hey, do you think this is a good idea? Should we talk about this?
Yeah, definitely. That'd be great.
But I think that's a good I think that would be a good avenue for you to go down.
Yeah.
Is keeping, because talking about with flexibility and being able to stay home with your son and still make money, I think that charging for your skill set, acting and singing and that's primarily drawing, but you don't do that or visual.
Well, it's funny because people have, wait, that's your
phone.
That's your phone. They all look alike.
They do all look alike.
They all look the same. Because, that's something else that we've been talking about in terms of trying to figure out, like, the t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might make some of... Yeah, I might...
Work on that, too, right?
Work on some of that, too. Because, like, I don't know, because I've been commissioned once, and it was by a friend, but, like, my personality, in terms of, like, how I feel about art, I'm like... I don't know if I can have that be my job exactly. But so these are some of the pictures that I made for some of the shows that I've done.
Oh my God, those are beautiful. So I'm looking at a drawing that Francesca did. It's really cool. They're like caricatures.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Caricatures.
Caricatures. Oh shoot, I can't say it. You know, I had to go to speech therapy. It's great I'm doing a podcast. I was in speech therapy as a child. So if I mispronounce things.
So look at you practicing though.
Yeah, I'm practicing now. What was that movie, The King's Speech, where he was terrible at speaking and then he got better? How do you say the word again? Caricature.
Yeah, okay. Caricatures.
Caricatures.
Yeah, see?
Yes, improvement.
Yeah.
These are cool. This is really cool.
So yeah, so that's what I went to undergrad for actually.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, so throughout my career, people have been like,
that's
well,
awesome.
Why don't you make that be a job? I'm like, because I already have a job that takes all of my brain power, like, all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, I think with the charging, with the acting and singing lessons, because the other thing you could do is think about maybe charging more. And I know that's a hard thing.
I know, that's what my, one of my good friends, who, she's been life coaching me.
Okay.
We've been doing a barter, which has been amazing.
Oh, I love
I'm
a
acting
barter.
Coaching her, and she's been life coaching me because she's also a professional.
I love a good barter.
Yeah.
I try and barter all the time.
It's
like,
amazing.
I will help you with your finances if I can maybe get something from you. Can we trade?
No, everybody has something valuable, a skill
set.
And so we've been trading, and she's been telling me that for a while. It's like, I know, I'm trying.
It's hard to charge because once you get over the hurdle of doing, you like say the praise out loud and then someone says, okay, great. And then you're like, oh, all right. That wasn't that bad. But like the anxiety leading up to it.
Yeah,
it's like that's paralyzing. Also... And then like when they ask what the price is and you're like, should I say 60? Should I say 100? I'll say 60. And they say 60. Okay, great. And you're like, God damn it, I should have said 100. Why did I say 100? And then you say 100 and then you're like, oh, maybe I should charge more. Like, they signed that check with no problem.
It's so much internal.
I know. Angst.
Yes.
It really is. But I remember about doing that because if you charged $100 and you did 5 sessions a week,
right,
it would be $500 a week.
Yes.
That would be $2,000 a month.
Yes.
That would be great. That would be great part-time income.
That would be. Well, also the other thing that we've been talking about is also expanding what I do as a coach. Mm-hmm. So she talks about figuring out what your niche is specifically.
Yep, that's important.
And for a while I was like, I guess, you know, kids and teenagers, because, you know, kids take lessons doing things and mm-hmm. stuff, and they do have some kids and they're great. But I've also realized that I love working with adults.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes it feels like, you know, your people sort of find you somehow. Because mm-hmm. I've had a good amount of adults come find me who are like, okay, so I didn't wind up going to school for this, but I want to maybe do this for a living, and I don't know exactly how I get into that. And I'm right. like, actually, I'm really glad that you found me, because that's what happened to me too.
So I can help you.
Like I understand. Like I went to school for something a little bit different, and then I wound up, and then I got to New York and went, I think I want to do something else, and I'm gonna just kind of jump in,
right.
you know.
No, and that's very and true. Did it. Now, what does your life coach say about charging? What do they think about price?
She says actually the exact same thing you said. Which is awesome, but I'm like, it's really going to be hard to ignore two people.
I came up with 100 because it's not exactly a double, but because we talked a little bit before we started the podcast, and we have a lot of experience in this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been on Broadway. I've been working for probably 15 years. I have a master's degree.
Great. You have the credentials and the experience to charge more than 60. You can do it.
I know. That's what she said to me, too.
You can do it. Next time I talk to you,
I need another one of these drinks.
We'll get you another Prosecco, and then you can just practice saying, my rate isn't $100 an hour. That is my rate. We'll just, like, go practice it. It gets easier if you practice it. Even if you just practice it with yourself. Like, I charge $100. My rate is $100. I was on Broadway. I have masters, and I charge $100. You can totally do it.
Okay.
Okay.
It's very warm in here.
It's incredible.
It is getting warm in here. Okay, so we'll kind of summarize everything. So I think the key thing I would love to see you do is kind of tackle those credit cards. Yeah. It'll give you so much more money in your budget to save, and saving will be critical, like getting an emergency fund set up. So God forbid something happens, you have like a little bit of cash available. I'd say like 3 to 6 months of expenses would be key.
Yeah.
And then just you can start your regular savings and getting on track with that. I know your husband's really ready to do it. So, but once you get rid of the credit cards, it'll make everything so much easier for you.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think you're on the right track with your side hustle. And nice. I'm with your, I think it sounds great. And I'm totally flexible. You can work from home.
Yeah.
And I just think the key for you is going to just like feel that empowerment to charge more, because it'll bring you so much more income. You're going to do the same amount of work.
Yeah.
But you'll just get paid almost double. And you can totally charge for it. We went over your background. You definitely have it. And I'm glad your life coach... I can't believe your life coach had the same number.
That's why I'm like, maybe you guys shouldn't meet.
So what's your biggest... I always like to ask, what's your biggest stressor with the finances?
I guess trying to... having to remake the wheel, to be perfectly honest, because I was, you know, I was making money doing musical theater, which, and it's kind of nuts, because people are always like, well, what did you do, what was your side job before? And I'm like, I was lucky enough to not really need that much of a side job, which again is like,
very rare,
right, which is the dream in a way, but that's also why I went back to graduate school, because I was like, the most money I've ever made is doing musical theater, and... Now, it's like, and even when you're doing it, like, you know, it's just, it's not steady. So,
right.
And I need to be either going into TV and doing, I need to expand my skill set. How am I going to do that? And I wound up just sort of stumbling into the master's program, like onto an ad for the master's program. Right. Like, a friend on Facebook posted it. And I was like, that looks kind of good. And I looked at it and I sang for them. And then, like, a week later, they were like, we like to accept you into the program and offer you a full scholarship.
That's fantastic.
Which is why I don't have student loans.
That's fantastic. Which is
exactly. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to take the 2 years and I'm going to stop working and I'm going to go down, get my degree, get the classes that I need and the training that I need. If I want to teach at a collegiate level at some point, I'll have now a terminal degree. And, you know, just to have more choices.
Yeah, I think having all those, all the optionality is important.
Right.
And I think that you definitely have that now. And I think it's like kind of the comfort level of how you're going to remake the
week. But that's sort of the thing, which is exactly, I went to like have choices and now I've got a bunch of choices and I'm like,
now what?
Exactly. Like, I wanted choices. I got those. I should have asked for direction also.
You should, like, so now that I have a degree, like, where should I, like, what would you choose if you were me?
Kind of.
I would say right now, with the flexibility with your son being small, I think the private lesson thing seems like a great avenue for you to make good money.
Yeah.
And then, but I like the idea of teaching, because if you teach, you could get in at a university or a school and maybe get something with a pension.
Well, that's the other reason why me and my life coach have been discussing in terms of how to either write a book or basically figure out like what my area of expertise, what we think my area of expertise is, and then, you know, continue to develop it wherever that sort of takes me to.
And then monetize it, right?
Yes.
That's another thing that we're
talking about. And that's, I'm like, great. Okay, great.
Makes me nervous.
It does.
You'll get there. You're on the right track.
I feel honestly, like, coming here, I was a little nervous, and then having listened to all of your podcasts beforehand, I was like, oh, okay, this, I feel better.
Oh yeah,
I feel a lot better.
Scary. Now, did I answer any other questions for me? Did I answer your questions?
Yeah, no, you have. I'm trying to think if there's anything.
Anything else?
In terms of investments, do you have any thoughts of things that he or I might spend more time in that you think are more worthwhile in looking into or less worthwhile?
So for investing, I like to follow like a very, I call this the very boring plan.
Okay.
And I think it works well.
Okay.
I like the idea of like getting rid of your debt, which you're already working on, getting an emergency fund. So you always have cash on hand. So then that way, if something comes up, like your car breaks down, you have the money to fix it.
Yeah.
It doesn't go on a credit card. And then from there, saving in retirement. So making sure you have a retirement. And when it comes to investments, I like really good, consistent, long-term track records and boring. I don't like any, I don't get into trends. I like very boring. I think that Warren Buffett is like a great model. Like, he buys and holds for a very long period of time good companies. And so that's really, I like boring.
Okay.
With consistent returns. But I would say first do the debt, then work on the emergency fund. And then from there, make sure you're doing the retirement savings.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very boring when it comes to investing. Everyone's like, what are you buying? I'm like, I buy mutual funds that have been around for 80 years. They did great for 80, so hopefully they'll do great for another 80. That's what I do. And it works.
Okay, cool.
It's all about your state. The key to being successful long-term with your finances is making sure that you have all the pieces of the pie.
Okay. Right?
So if the only thing you have are investments that are doing great, but then you have debt and you don't have the right insurance, you don't have all these other pieces over here, then this doesn't really matter as much, because the majority of the rest of your financial life isn't working well.
Right.
You have to have all the pieces together, all working together.
Okay.
All the pieces of the puzzle have to work.
Yeah.
So that's the emergency funding, getting rid of the debt, then making sure you're saving, making sure insurance is right, you know, eventually buying a home, all those pieces.
Yeah.
And we talk more about this actually in my class, we'll wrap this up.
Yeah.
And I'll give the little plug for my online class, which I go over all the different pieces of the puzzle that you need, which you can find at www.planential.com. And it was great to have you.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
I'm glad. I hope it helped.
Immensely.
Wonderful. Thank you for listening, our dear listeners who are growing by leaps and bounds every day.